Jack's sister Debbie, and I am reminding you to tune in to When Music Was Music on KNNALP FM 95.7 in Lincoln. In fact, I encourage you to tune in to all of FM 95.7's great programming. I live near Chicago, and I listen on my computer. You can too. You can find this great station at www.thecross957.org, and you can even download the KNNA app. Then you will not only be able to hear all the great programs wherever you go, but you won't miss my brother's fun big band program either. I know you'll be richly rewarded through FM 95.7's daily faith strengthening programs, along with all the fun entertainment programs too. Tune in. I do.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any care to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 The Cross operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
Welcome, everybody, once again to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. Here in Lincoln, Nebraska, it's a wonderful program with David and myself. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
Got it in. Got it in.
The dad joke.
Stupid dad joke.
Gotta have it every week. Every week we have a show.
Oh, yeah. So this is a part of KNNA where David and I, we come up with some pretty... Well, sometimes tough questions, sometimes controversial questions. I don't think
sometimes
any of them have
silly
been
questions.
I don't think any of them have been simple. Well, it may be silly, but none of them are stupid. There is no such thing as a stupid question on this program.
The one you're afraid to ask.
Yes, yeah, that's right. As Pastor Poppy said, the only stupid question is the one that you're afraid to ask. So we have tackled questions like, is the Bible the Word of God? We've tackled questions like, did Jesus exist? Is Jesus God? We've also talked about abortion, whether or not it's a good thing, a bad thing. You know, when is it okay to have an abortion, if it's okay to have an abortion? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about things like that. We've even gone on the deep end. We talked about ancient aliens and that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, we've talked
been
about
all
that.
Over the map.
I know eventually we're going to start talking about the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. There's always controversy about what the Nephilim is. And most people might even scratch their head and go, the what? So we talk about all sorts of things on this program as in relation to Christianity. And more specifically for K&A, Lutheranism. Mm-hmm. So we are Lutherans. So the most important thing to take away from this program is we don't ask these questions and then come up with our own answers and then go look at the Bible and see what it says. We've already had the discussion that the Bible is the Word of God. It really is the Word of God. So we go from there. So we go to the Bible, and then we ask the question, we go to the Bible first, and then we have a discussion, and if that starts leading towards opinions and that kind of thing, that's where it stems from, the Bible first. That's the most important part, Scripture alone. So that's what we're doing. So today joining us is Pastor Jesse Burns. Pastor Burns, thank you for joining us here on the Y-Files.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you can make it. So I meant to ask you this before we went on air, and I ran out of time just doing everything. Where are you at right now?
Oh, very good question. I am the pastor currently at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Ventura, Iowa. Ventura is on the western shore of Clear Lake. And we're just west of I-35, about 5 miles, 5-6 miles, something like that, and just about 20 or 30 miles south of the Minnesota border. So we're kind of right smack dab in the center, north central part of Iowa.
So if anybody wants to come visit you, you gave great directions as to where to go.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. You can't miss us. You can't. Just get on 35 and. And like I said, you can't miss us.
Awesome. Well, Pastor Burns, you and I go way back to our college years, and we were talking about it before the show started. I don't think we've seen each other since probably 2006.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah. It's been a little
probably
while
about
now.
This time 12 years ago.
Yeah. So it's been a while. So it's great to see you, and it's great to have you on the show. I think you were on Proclaiming the One at one point this year, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while now. Been a while, but was happy to be a guest there as well. So
what, just out of curiosity, was that your first experience on a radio station?
Yes, it was.
Well, it
yes,
sounded it amazing. It sounded amazing. You did great.
I'm glad you thought so.
Well, hopefully, you can get back on Proclaiming the One of these days, and of course on this program as well. So, I think I'm doing too much talking, and David, you're talking way too much.
Yeah. Oh, I'm taking up all our time here.
But really quick, before we get to our first question, you everyone out there, you can go to our Facebook page, the Y Files. That's the letter Y, the Y Files Facebook page. And as far as I know, it's the only one. It's the only one. But you'll see it. It's kind of ripping off the X Files a little bit. You'll see the big old Y in a circle, and there you can go and you can submit any questions that you might have that you'd like to have on this program, because this program is for people who might be too afraid to go and ask a pastor these questions, because maybe they think it's too stupid of a question, which it's not.
It's a show all about curiosity.
It
really is.
True. Yep. That's definitely it. And for people who are trying to find answers, now it doesn't mean that we're going to have the answers, but we'll do our best. So you can go to the Y Files and submit a question to us, and we'll get it on the show as soon as possible. We've already had several listener-submitted questions that have been on this program. So we do get them out there. Okay, Pastor Burns. So... one thing that I remember back in our college days was speaking with people who believed in predestination. And it was an ongoing topic, along with some other things that we'll get to in a little bit. But I wanted to start with predestination. So in Scripture, we're told that God God knows the plans he has for us. So is this predestination? I mean, should we just sit back and let God do everything for us because we're all predestined because he has plans for us? Or what does that mean?
Well, I think we have to carefully distinguish some terms here. When we speak about predestination, there is a let me back up. That term specifically, the way we use that term is in reference to salvation. The Lutheran confessions use the language of election. The scriptures use this language. The church are those who are called, those who are elect. But the way the scriptures speak of this way is a matter of salvation, that that God chooses us, that he calls us and gives us faith in Christ and gives us salvation. And the way the scriptures speak this way is that it's always our election is always in Christ. That he gives us salvation in Christ, right? We talk about by grace through faith. Today is Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, and the gospel text for this day, our Lord says that he sends the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, who teaches us all things and brings to our remembrance what Jesus has said, and so he calls us to that faith. Now, we also then talk about kind of this, or people talk about this idea of God knowing what job you're going to have, or God, and this is kind of the way I remember things. We had these conversations all the time in college. I don't know who God wants me to marry, or I don't know who God wants me to. Whatever the case may be, what job he wants me to do or whatever,
yeah.
As if we were kind of just puppets on a string, right? And God was just, forcing these things upon us. That's more a kind of dealing with God's kind of foreknowledge and then getting into the question of free will. Whether or not we have freedom to make decisions and in this life. Now, when it comes to matters of salvation, when it comes to God and the things that are above us, this is one of the things that Luther and the Lutheran reformers, the language that I really appreciate from them. Is this the idea of what is above us and what is below us? And the things that are above us, we don't have this free will. We don't choose to believe in Jesus. Faith is a gift. We don't ask God to come into our hearts, but the Holy Spirit calls us to faith, enlightens us with this gift, sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith. But when it comes to matters of things below us, what you're going to have for lunch today, or what job you want to pursue, we have a matter of freedom in making those decisions and so forth. Does God know these things? Sure, but we're not. It's not as though he is forcing himself upon us to do these. To do these things.
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes, and I don't know if you can finish this particular question. One thing that just popped into mind is one of the questions that came up in college also was, does God predestine some to go to hell or predestine them to go to heaven?
This is a debate that goes back to the time of the Reformation. This is a distinction between how Lutherans do theology and how our friends in other circles do theology. The short answer to that is that the way the scriptures speak of predestination is, as I mentioned before, it's always in Christ. That God calls us to faith and gives salvation to the believers. That does not mean that God predestines or creates certain people in order to send them to hell.
And that's a Calvinist point of view, isn't it?
That is a Calvinist point of view. That's correct. That's what they call what we label double predestination. Yeah. That by God choosing some, he is out of necessity choosing to damn others. The scriptures don't speak this way. His desire is for all men to come to salvation, come to faith, and be saved.
Are you guys listening to the Y-Files? We've got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
They work night and day. They protect you from harm. They keep our homes and our neighborhoods out of danger. They have labored much to keep our cities, towns, and roads safe. To our policemen and women, for the many sacrifices that you have made in order to keep us safe, we give you a very, very big thank you. This message is brought to you by KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. It's a program where we tackle some of the tough and controversial questions, and we ask guest pastors to come onto the program and discuss it with us, basing it first from Scripture and then going from there. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. He is a pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church. We just finished talking about predestination, and now we're ready to go into the next topic. David, what do we have?
The rapture. The rapture is quite prevalent in evangelical Christian circles. Pastor, what is the rapture?
The rapture, the idea of the rapture comes from specifically from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'd like to read these passages.
Sure.
If I can.
Yeah.
These are some of the most, to me, comforting words of Scripture, and I use them so often when it comes to funerals or somebody nearing death, or for a grieving family. So from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, St. Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." The word rapture comes from the Latin for, we heard the words caught up. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. The word rapture comes from the Latin verb, therefore, for caught up. And so the thought is that the thought in a lot of evangelical circles, and specifically from an understanding of the end times, what we call dispensationalism, premillennial dispensationalism, yeah. Is that there is going to be a secret return of Christ, and that he is going to rapture, catch up believers, mm-hmm. and take them off the earth before the end times continues to take place. Before specifically, and this is important, before the 7-year tribulation is supposedly to take place. One of the other passages that I'd like to take us to in understanding this idea of the rapture is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning with verse 40. Jesus says, "Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left."
Yeah.
These are kind of the proof texts that that those who believe in a rapture, and specifically in a secret return of Christ, will use. They'll say, you know, there are these two people, and one's taken and one is left behind. If you were paying attention in the 2000s, we had very popular books and movies known as the Left Behind series, kind of based on this idea.
Yeah.
The rapture doctrine really came into fruition in the 18th, 19th centuries, and was really popularized, especially in American circles, with the Scofield Reference Bible coming out in, I think, the early 1900s, that pushed this doctrine. There are some major issues with this, however. Especially with this idea of the rapture being kind of a secret return of Christ, as if you know, God is going to come and just kind of zap all of the Christians off the planet, and everybody else is going to kind of be, as the book series kind of talked about, left behind and wondering what's going on. I'd like to read kind of the context of Matthew 24, because I think that helps us to understand what's wrong with this understanding. Jesus says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." In the popular rapture theology, the idea is that there's going to be this secret rapture, and then there's going to be 7 years before the visible return of Christ. And if that is true, then we'll be able to predict by simply counting 7 years from the time of the rapture,
right,
for the return of Christ. And yeah. So these things, the context of these verses actually disproves the idea of this secret rapture.
I've actually never heard of it put that way before, so I really appreciate that. I mean, it makes absolute sense. I mean, we really look at it, but I don't think I've ever heard it put that way, and that might be because I don't really get to hear a whole lot of people talk about the rapture.
Right.
I really don't, which is one reason why this topic is being discussed, because we don't really talk about this. I mean, not really in Bible studies, or especially not during a church service. You don't really hear it.
Not really embraced in our circles.
Not in Lutheranism.
Back in my evangelical days, I remember hearing about it quite a bit. I was younger, so I didn't mm-hmm. get I didn't get the fire hose treatment on the rapture, but
when my wife was growing up, there was a lot of talk about the rapture. She got into some Baptist churches, and I know they discussed that too. And there was one time she was so afraid of it that she woke up in her home one day, and nobody was home. She actually thought the rapture had occurred and that she didn't make it.
Ah.
Like she was absolutely afraid of it, only to go outside and find out there they were. I mean, but it incites such fear in people.
Yeah.
Have you seen the bumper stickers that says, you know, in case of rapture, this car will be driverless or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the other issue with that, looking at the context of this, Jesus brings in the days of Noah, right? He says, just as in the days of Noah. Well, who was it that was taken in the flood? It wasn't that the believers were taken out of the world. It's that the unbelievers were destroyed. And so this whole idea of the rapture being kind of a secret taking away of believers actually goes contrary to the example that Jesus is using with Noah, because it's the believers, it's Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives who are the ones that are left, who are left there.
Yeah, and that's something that people get backwards in the book of Matthew. Like you just said, when they say one was taken, the other one's left, it wasn't that the believers were taken, it was the unbelievers were taken.
Right. And it's showing a distinction. It's showing a distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. And the other thing that this does, as I mentioned before, it robs us of the beautiful context, especially of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. St. Paul says, "We say this to you by the word of the Lord." And then he goes on to say, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What's he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection. And he's talking about the fact that that those who have preceded us in death, it's not as though they are somehow apart from the salvation that we have now by the fact that they have died. No, they're going to be raised. They're going to be raised in their flesh. And gathered together with the whole church to be with the Lord for all of eternity. And so he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Your wife was terrified at the idea of the rapture, when the very words of St. Paul are not meant to be a terror.
Right.
It's the word of the Lord for comfort, exactly. Comfort for us.
That's right. So we just kind of touched on this a little bit a couple minutes ago. Do Lutherans believe in the rapture?
Lutherans don't believe in the rapture, especially, you know, our evangelical friends want to talk about the rapture. Now, we certainly believe the words of St. Paul here, as he says, that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is to say, that we will be gathered together with the whole church. Going back to the time of Adam and Eve until the end, we will be indeed caught up to be with our Lord for all eternity. But no, we don't believe the rapture as our friends in evangelicalism put it forward.
So for those people who are somewhat confused or maybe even just lost in what they should be believing, and they're hearing about this rapture stuff, especially if you go on YouTube. It is everywhere on YouTube. All you have to do is type in the rapture, and you will get all sorts of stuff. And if someone who is looking for answers or truth or whatnot, and they find these rapture videos, they're going to get even more lost. It's dangerous. It really is dangerous to watch all these. So Pastor Burns, is there a place in the next minute or so that you could direct people to go to if they were looking, you know, where in the Bible could we point them to get away from the rapture?
To get away from the rapture idea. I think, you know, when we look at the words of our Lord Jesus in talking about his coming again, going back and making the distinction that there's not going to be a secret coming again of Christ. But rather that we will all know and see his coming. And our Lord speaks especially in Luke chapter 21 as he's talking about his coming again, where he says to his believers that when you see these things taking place, lift up your heads, stand up and see that your salvation is drawing near. And so for those who have faith in Christ, for the Christian, these are not things that we ought to be terrified of, but that ought to bring us great comfort that our Lord Jesus is coming again to give us that final realization of that salvation that he's already bestowed upon us.
Joining us here on the Y-Files is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, California. If you have any questions you want on the Y-Files, you go to our Y-Files Facebook page and submit your question there. We have to take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour, so don't go away. We'll be right back for some more Y-Files.
KNNALP 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 La Crosse operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome." This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world."
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
And welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
I got it in there twice. This is going to be a great day. So joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns, which, by the way, he's from Ventura, Iowa. I said California before the break because I was born there at Ventura, California. That's why I said that, because I was just used to it. Anyways, he is in Ventura, Iowa, preaching at Redeemer Lutheran Church. So if you happen to be in the area, go to that church. Go to that church. So, Pastor, we've been talking about predestination. We've talked about the rapture. Now we've got something that is actually somewhat relatable. David, what do you got?
What is the Bible code, and is it real?
The Bible code also has another name called the Torah code. And it was popularized in the 1990s by a book entitled The Bible Code by Michael Drosnin. The concept behind this is that God has written, supposedly, or somebody has written hidden messages into the scriptures, and that by going through specifically the Torah or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, that by going through that in the Hebrew and picking a letter and then having a specific spacing and numbers, and I don't know exactly how all of it works, but that one can find hidden messages that are written out in the letters of the scriptures. Now, supposedly this can be done in the Hebrew, but it could also theoretically be done in the English as well. It's been put forward that there are a number of events that are foretold using the Bible code, even assassinations. I thought I read something somewhere where Bin Laden's death was foretold or found hidden in the Bible.
Yeah, you know, and I think I even came across something that said the JFK assassination was also in the Bible code.
That was another one, yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm sure 9/11 has also been one of them. I mean, I think a lot of these major historical events are supposedly within this Bible code.
Right. And you know what it really comes down to is not wanting to take God at his word or wanting to. I used a line this morning in my sermon about not spiritualizing the Spirit, not turning the Holy Spirit. We don't want to spiritualize the Holy Spirit as though we need to go looking for him in some sort of mystic experience. Or that we need to be looking for the Spirit's moving in our feelings or in our emotions. We don't go looking for the Spirit giving us hidden messages, whether in the Bible code or in the daisy growing out of the sidewalk on the sidewalk outside the church here. But rather, we believe what our Lord has given us. You know, you had a segment, I understand, you mentioned at the beginning of what is the Bible and is the Bible God's word? The Bible is God's word to us. It is a clear word to us. And John's gospel, for example, towards the end of the gospel, the end of chapter 20, he says that there were many things that Jesus did that were not recorded in this book. But he says, these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And our Lord does not lie to us. Jesus calls the devil a liar and the father of lies. Our Lord does not lie. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. Mm-hmm. He calls the Holy Spirit, who has inspired the Scriptures, that are God breathed, the Spirit of truth. If Jesus is the truth and the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, he does not delight in deception.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he commands us that we not give false testimony against our neighbor. We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray them, slander them. That we don't delight in deceit, and neither does our Lord give us anything that deceives us. Mm-hmm. So the idea of the Bible code is really. Kind of, it makes God into a liar, into a deceiver. But our Lord is not a deceiver.
And it just becomes an absolute joke. Like, society sees this form of Christianity as just a joke. Because people are always coming up with these predictions. I mean, there actually was one for April 23rd and the 18th, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was related to Bible code, but point is that people are trying to put two and two together, so to speak, and come up with these dates of the end of the world, and then they're proven wrong. And, you know, get things like the Y2K, mm-hmm. or back in the 90s, there was this cult in California where this comet came and it was supposed to take them to heaven or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. Society just sees Christianity as a joke overall when they hear people come up with these predictions, because they're not even basing anything off of Scripture. They're coming it up with on their own, and we mm-hmm. just become a laughing stock.
Yeah. And you know what it is? It is the lies of the devil. You know, he knows the Scriptures. and twists them, just as he does with Eve. Did God really say? Just as he does with our Lord Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. You throw yourself down, for it says that he will command his angels concerning. He quotes the scriptures, and here it's deception using the scriptures to actually take away from our actually hearing the scriptures for what they are proclaiming. We've just come out of the Easter season, and one of the texts that is oftentimes used during Easter is from Luke chapter 24 with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We've been going over this in Bible study here at Redeemer, and these disciples are very sad because of what has taken place over the last few days with Jesus, who they had hoped had been the Messiah, and yet he had been crucified and dead and buried and all of these things. But then Jesus goes on to open the scriptures to them to show that all of the scriptures are about him.
Right.
The scriptures are not a book to predict assassinations or certain events. The scriptures are about Jesus.
Right.
And they point us to Jesus in everything.
Yeah, since from the very beginning of scripture, it's in Genesis.
Yeah. It's in, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent.
Right.
This is about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? God does not deceive us in such a way, but rather he reveals himself to us in his Son and proclaims that through his word.
So joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. Just got to get that in there. I so want to say California. It's Ventura, Iowa, preaching at Redeemer Lutheran Church. David, you were just about to say something, were you?
Oh, I was just going to say that the wrap-up to that question seemed pretty open and shut.
Did you have a wrap-up question ready for you?
Not on that one. I was just wondering if we were going to move on to the next question.
No, not yet. I do have one other thing. This is more of an opinion for Pastor Burns, but let's add the rapture in with this too, since we just talked about that about 10 minutes ago. The Bible code and the rapture, why do you think people still follow this? I mean, yes, I know that we have the great deceiver. We've got that one, but do you have another possibility as to why so many people follow this?
I think man has a fascination with kind of the mysterious, and not that mystery is or the mysterious is necessarily always a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of things that are mystery to us, things that defy logic. I mean, that's the one of the words for that we get the term sacrament from is mystery. I mean, so mystery is not always bad or wrong or a wrong way to understand something.
Right.
But I think we want to kind of, as I mentioned before, kind of over spiritualize or give a new spiritual thought to things. And find something that is more extraordinary than what we're used to. This Bible code stuff is, I think it's boredom with the actual Word of God, and it's not actually trusting that God has revealed that which He wants us to know through the Scriptures. We want more of a spiritual kind of interaction with God. We want to kind of peek at God in His hidden majesty. We want to be like in the Wizard of Oz and peek behind the curtain and see all these things. And we're not content to hang on to what He has given us. But yet, what He has given us is there again, that we would have faith and salvation through faith in Christ alone.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. This is the Y-Files with Captain Kirk, along here with David. And we have to take a quick break. Don't go away. We've got another good question coming up. So we'll be right back.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much.
Every year there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
Ever wonder what the LP stands for in KNNA LP? Low power. 95.7 FM is a low power radio station. So, if you begin to lose reception as you make your way outside of Lincoln, then just switch on your mobile device to the KNNA app or go to thecross957.org and listen on the web.
KNNA FM 95.7 is radio. Radio is a communication medium, nothing more. KNNA is designed to be confessional Lutheran, Lutheran community informative, and family and entertainment. Our broadcasting can assist the shut-in who can't come to church on Sunday. It can help the hospitalized for the same reason. It can help the person whose work schedule is unfriendly to Sunday morning worship. All so that the Word of God might be heard. Yes, there is a level of outreach connected to FM 95.7. But FM 95.7 is not the church. It is not intended to take the place of the congregation or its pastors or their work. It is FM radio, a communication medium. We are all volunteer. Most of our programming is automated. There is no office or staff or phone watch. If there are pastoral concerns that you would like assistance with, or you would like to speak with our pastors, please contact Good Shepherd Lutheran Church at 402-423-7639 during normal business hours, or come by the church at 3825 Wildbriar Lane. We'll be happy to assist you.
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on 95.7 FM. We are joined by Pastor Jesse Burns from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Ventura, Iowa. By the way, do you have services at 8 o'clock and 10:30 or something like that, or just 8 o'clock, or what do you got?
Our service is here at 9 o'clock. Okay. We have divine service at 9, and Sunday school during the school year, if you will, from September until matter of fact, next Sunday will be our last day of Sunday school for this year, mm-hmm. Following at about 10:15, 10:30. So we'd love to have you come and join us. We're located on Main Street in Ventura, which Ventura is a small town. So once you turn into town, you'll see us. We're actually the only congregation in town of any kind. And so you'll be able to find us. We'd love to have you come and join us.
Yeah, and we have listeners all over the states, not just here in Lincoln or in Nebraska. But we've got listeners in Iowa too. So if you happen to be in Iowa or live in Iowa, you got a great church to go to. You definitely do. So, David?
Yeah?
Are you ready for this next question?
One second. Yes, I am now ready.
Okay. What do we got?
There are YouTube videos, as you may know, that have gone viral, and they're about supposed trumpeting noises heard around the world. It causes thousands of people to believe that the end of the world is nigh. Even a pastor on YouTube was convinced this was a sign or a message from God. Pastor, could this be a sign or a message from God, or is it just a hoax of some kind?
Well, okay, so before he says anything, I think I'm going to be able to get an audio clip of this playing.
Okay.
I think. So just bear with me here, because things are a little bit technically sophisticated. So I'm gonna play it here on my laptop first. I don't know if Pastor Burns is gonna be able to hear it. Oh wait, no, not there. I don't want to go there. See, I told you it was technically complicated. Okay, let's try that. And this is somebody's video.
Yeah.
From their phone.
They're just outside.
Okay, and I'm gonna play it one more time.
It's
Okay, Pastor Burns, were you able to hear that?
I was not.
Oh, darn. Okay. See, we got to figure out how to get audio from this side to your side. I don't know what it is, but I was able to describe the audio clip to Pastor Burns off air as to what it supposedly sounded like. And the description I gave him was it sounded a lot like somebody dragging heavy steel on concrete. Hmm. It's actually kind of what it sounds like. And I had a job putting up some pallet racks a couple weeks ago, and we were dragging steel across the concrete. My first thought was, this sounds like one of those trumpet sounds I heard on YouTube. So, and that got me thinking, oh, we should have a question about that. So, there's people all over YouTube who supposedly have heard these sounds, and if not, they're creating their own videos and taking sound that other people have made and creating hoaxes. So, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is when people start hearing about end of the world type stuff, you know, they're seeing signs of this, signs of that, you know, and when they hear this, you know, Christ is supposed to come or the end of the world or something is supposed to come. So whether or not this is a hoax, what do we say to people like this? I mean, do we tell them that they're crazy? Do we tell them that, well, you need to look at what Scripture says? I mean, what do we do to talk to people who believe this?
I think we need to ultimately go back to the words of Christ and go back to the Scriptures. You know, we mentioned, we read a couple of times from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that Christ is going to come with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, which is, again, why I think if this is a hoax, why such a sound, supposed trumpet blast or whatever is being put forward there. The problem with this idea is the way the Scriptures speak and the way Jesus speaks is that that when he returns, there's going to be a visible return and that we will all see it together.
Everybody's going to know.
One of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod forefathers, Francis Pieper, in talking about the return of Christ, mentions or uses the example of it's not as though the people in Europe are going to be able to forward us a message. You know, in his day, you know, we're talking telegram or whatever. Hey, Christ is returning, and the Europeans are gathering together, and so on and so forth. You guys in America, get ready. Likewise, it's not as though his return is going to be able to. We're going to throw it up on YouTube and warn people that Christ is coming. Rather, Jesus talks about coming like lightning, coming from the east, from the west. So I'd like to read words from Matthew chapter 24 in Jesus speaking about his coming again. He says here, starting verse 23, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." This is exactly what Jesus has warned us about. We have people trying to say, hey, Christ is here. But Jesus has said, no, don't listen to them. False Christs, false prophets. As the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west. Well, where do the east and the west meet? You know, it's something that it spans the entire view here. Mm-hmm. His return will be seen by all.
Yes. And like I mentioned before on YouTube video, there's all sorts of people trying to say, hey, look, the end is near because look what I've caught on YouTube. And we were joking off air too that, well, if you see it on YouTube, it must be real.
Lightsabers and such.
So, I mean, yes, there are some true things on YouTube. You know, people actually put some legitimate things out there. But there's a lot of hoaxes, a lot of false testimonies, or what have you, about all this stuff. So you really have to be careful of what you are watching on YouTube. I, and again, off air, I watch YouTube for entertainment. and for finding the questions for this program. I don't watch it for any factual information. Like, there's some people who are dead serious about things. Like, when if you watch UFO videos or something, they're dead serious about what they see. I see it as mostly comedy. Because you can't prove any of it. Anybody can just make stuff up. So just like this and these trumpet sounds, anybody can make this up. And I was telling David, if you hear enough of these videos, you watch, because there's a lot of them, and there's different videos to it, you might start hearing the same audio sound, like exactly the same audio sound. So in other words, people are taking these audio clips, putting it to their own video footage. That they just take their phone and they just wave it around up towards the sky, and then they put audio to it. And they say, look, I hear trumpet sounds too. You should believe this because it's happening. Yeah, it's all over the place. So it's something to be really careful of. And again, look at scripture. Look what it says, not what YouTube says.
You got to wonder how much of that sort of thing happens for the sake of people just trying to get attention.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. And, you know, it's not to say that people aren't hearing things. They might actually be hearing the sounds like we played a little bit ago. But most likely, it's a piece of machinery. Because when you listen to more and more of it, it's like, well, that kind of sounds like somebody's drilling into metal. Mm-hmm. Or that sounds like a skid bucket scraping on concrete. Or, like I said earlier, steel being dragged on concrete. I mean,
it really makes that sound.
It really does make a very similar eerie sound.
Interesting.
So you got to really be careful. And stick with scripture. Stick with what God says. So so with that being said, we only have a couple of minutes. Pastor Burns, what should we be vigilant for when it does come to the end of the world or Christ's second coming? I mean, I know you don't have a whole lot of time. You can really dive into this for like a half hour, but could you put it in a couple of minutes? What should we be vigilant for?
Well, I think we are living in the end times, if you will, right? We know that Christ is coming. Jesus has come to win our salvation. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father as a man. And we have the promise that he is coming again, as he tells us that the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. The angels at the ascension told the disciples, you're going to see him come again. Now we are in that time, awaiting that coming again. And so what are we to be vigilant doing? To be living out our lives as Christians. And to be living in our vocations, we are to be listening to the scriptures. We're to be receiving the gifts of the Lord in the divine service. We're to be living by faith in Christ and trusting in his promises, and then living in faith toward God, and then, as our post-communion collect says, and in fervent love toward one another. Fathers, take care of your wives and children. Mothers, tend your children. Parents, bring your children to church. Children, obey your parents, and so forth. We live in those vocations, knowing that yes, Christ is coming again, and while we're awaiting that, we live in faith toward him and in fervent love toward our neighbors, doing what has been given to us to do within our vocations. To the best of our ability, trusting in our Lord's gracious promises and in his salvation, which he's given to us by grace through faith. That's what we need to be. What we need to be about. And as Jesus says, stay awake, pay attention. That is, you know, listen to the word. Don't get distracted from it by the cares and the changes and chances of this life. But remain where our Lord has promised to be at work for us, in his word and in his church.
Pastor Jesse Burns has joined us today for the Y-Files here at 95.7 FM, and he is from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Ventura, Iowa. So if you happen to be going by there, go to church there, or at least wave hi to him. No. Pastor Burns, thank you for being on the program. It's been such a great honor to have you on, and it's been great topic, great discussion. I really appreciate this. So you guys can get a hold of us at the Y-Files Facebook page, where you can submit a question to us, and there is no stupid question. So send it to us. We'll get it on this program as soon as we can. Pastor Burns, thanks once again.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It was an honor being here with you.
We'll see you next week, Lincoln and the States. Have a good weekend.